Now for something very different. We've been talking to you a lot about data today. So first I have to say my principal investigator, Christina Bithell, couldn't be here today, and my colleague, Nara Gombajov, who I work with, and we are funded by the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine, NCAM. So you'll hear a little bit more about the grant we're working on, which is what I'm presenting today is mostly secondary data analysis. I have nothing to disclose. So what is complementary and alternative medicine? Well, I probably don't need to tell any of you that the definition is a bit of a moving target. It's both contextual, changing over time, location. You know, in Indiana, it could be quite different from where I live currently, which is the West Coast. I used to live in San Francisco. I live in Portland, Oregon. Basically, nothing's alternative there. It's all mainstream. Everything that, you know, other people might be considering alternative medicine is stuff that in Portland, Oregon is the absolute norm. But for, you know, when you're doing survey research, you have to have fairly concrete definitions. So the definition we and other people use in this kind of data field is the one put out by NCAM, which is that it's a complex set of practices and services that are defined as outside Western medicine. So that's sort of a not very satisfying definition, which is based more on what it isn't than what it is. But like I said, it's kind of changing over time, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But it incorporates, you know, mind-body therapy, which are things like meditation, hypnosis, yoga, biologically based therapies such as herbs and vitamins, manipulative and body-based therapies like chiropractic, osteopathic, or alternative medical systems such as Ayurvedic. So the goals of the grant that we're working on are really, there's three things that we're working on. One is that we are doing this intensive secondary data analysis of data, which I'm going to be presenting today, where we've linked the National Health Interview Survey and MEPS, and I'll talk more about that, to look at, you know, the prevalence of CAM use among children, especially children with special needs and chronic conditions, which is a field that we tend to work in, and also look at experience of patient care in regular conventional medical settings to see if that's affecting why people are moving towards alternative medicine practices or not, and to look at medical expenditures, which I'm not going to be talking about today, and that's the medical expenditure panel survey study, that's MEPS. So, but we also have other things I'm not going to be talking about today, but that we're doing in the grant, which is that we're looking at, we have a national network of other researchers that we're working with to kind of develop a health services research plan and agenda for working with population-based health data around pediatric CAM use. And we're also working with NCAM to work on their next set of questions that they want to put out about pediatric CAM use, and so helping them to do some survey methods research on hopefully improving the data that they collected that I'm presenting on, which I think they could improve upon. So today what I'm mostly going to be talking about is just a brief look at some data that we have found, and so to talk a little bit about the prevalence of CAM use among children in the U.S., but more specifically to talk about it among kids with special needs, chronic conditions, comorbid conditions, and complex conditions. So the source of the data is the 2007 National Health Interview Survey, which sounds like it's old now, but you know, these big federal data sets tend to take about 2 years between when they're collected and then they're actually released. So the data is probably about really 2 years old since it came out. Other work that we do in my center, which is the Child and Adolescent Health Measurement Initiative at Oregon Health Science University, is we work with the National Survey of Children's Health and the National Survey of Children with Special Healthcare Needs. So we do a lot of work on large population-based federal surveys, which is how we ended up working with this one. In 2007, NCAM had a CAM supplement that they put in with that survey. So and we linked the files, and so the data I'm talking about today has to do with 9,400 children in the U.S., and the data are collected and they're representative of the entire 73 million children in the U.S., so this is weighted data. So overall prevalence of CAM use in the U.S., well, it depends on what you're calling complementary alternative medicine. They ask about 37 practices, services, and other things. I will not name them all. And there are some that are clearly more controversial than others. You know, you may or may not consider them alternative at this point, one being vitamin usage. When the National Center for Health Statistics put out, you know, they're the ones who actually collect the data, when they put out their own report on the data, they exclude all vitamin use from what they call CAM. Even though they collect the data on it, they just kind of throw it out completely. But if you were to keep that in, 40% of kids are, or 30 million children, are using some form of CAM, if you're including vitamins. Turns out most of those are just taking a daily multivitamin, clearly not particularly alternative. But they do ask follow-up questions about whether or not the kids are using vitamins specifically for therapeutic purposes. Now that sounds a little more like they're using it, you know, for sort of a medical or alternative medical reason. And so we have put those kids back in, and so that's the middle bullet there, which is, so 12.9% of kids, which is still, you know, a very large percent of children in the U.S., are using one or more of these 37 practices or services. So I need to talk a little bit about who are children with special health care needs, because this is the population that we tend to focus our research on, and it is not just children with identified and diagnosed conditions. It's a little bit broader than that. So all the work we do, this grant is funded by NCAM. Our other work is funded by the Maternal and Child Health Bureau. And their definition of children with special health care needs are, and I will read it because it is precise, that those who have or are at increased risk for a chronic physical, developmental, behavioral, or emotional condition, and who also require health and related services of a type or amount beyond that required by children generally. So it's a broad definition that includes children who are at risk, maybe don't have a condition that is specified at the moment, but we know that children are developing and their diagnoses change over time. And so all the surveys I've worked on over the past several years, including the National Survey of Children's Health and the National Survey of Children with Special Health Care Needs, use this definition. And the way we operationalize this definition is through a screener, which I'll talk about on the next slide. But I did want to point out that the reason this population is so important, not only because these kids have conditions, and that in and of itself is important, but several studies have shown, you know, that these are the children that are using a lot of conventional medical care services and account for anywhere, depending on the estimate, to from between 40 and 80% of all pediatric healthcare costs in the U.S. So this is an important population that we need to identify and work with. There is growing evidence that kids who have special needs are accessing CAM at a higher rate than children who don't have conditions. That makes sense. I can say a little bit more about that later. So there is a screener that identifies children with special health care needs in five simple items developed by my boss, Christina Bethel, with the Maternal and Child Health Bureau. And that determines whether children have an ongoing health condition that requires prescription meds, an abnormal amount of health care services compared to children of the same age, whether the children have a functional limitation or are limited and prevented in some way compared to others of the same age, whether they're using specialized therapy such as occupational therapy, speech therapy, physical therapy, or whether they currently have or need counseling for an emotional or mental health problem. So those are five little screening items that are used in a lot of federal surveys right now. It is actually not used in the National Health Interview Survey. So in order to identify children with special health care needs for this study, we had to use about 40 items in the survey to kind of construct those who are using lots of medical care services and or have conditions. And I will not talk about the details of how that works. It's a very, you know, it's like about 20 pages of SPSS syntax, but we can talk about it. And if anybody wants to follow up, you can talk. So I'm not going to talk a lot about the prevalence of sort of demographically of who, what kind of children use CAM. That has been published by the National Center for Health Statistics, but I will just point out that CAM users do tend to be white from higher income families and adolescents, so older children are using CAM much more than younger children. That sort of makes sense. So they're less likely to be Latino, African American, from households below a poverty level, or very young. So that's sort of in your mind picture that's sort of demographically the children who are using CAM in the U.S., that 12.9%. But hopefully we'll bust a few myths here so that we don't think this is like a high-income white boutique style practice. So looking at, I'll explain this slide. So if you look at the bottom of that slide, the 9.6% of children, so the National Health Interview Survey assesses 59 different conditions that children may be experiencing in the past 12 months, some of which are chronic, some of which are not. The common cold would be an example of a non-chronic condition. So these numbers are the prevalence of children who are using CAM who have whatever condition set is listed on the side. So for example, only 9.6% of kids who reported in the past 12 months that they had some kind of condition, but it's something non-chronic. They had the flu, they had a cold. So that's the lowest number of CAM users. If you had at least one of the chronic conditions that were asked about in the survey, you were almost twice as likely as those who had a non-chronic condition. So clearly as your complexity of conditions moves up, you're more likely to use CAM. And the absolute most likely to use CAM are those children who have special health care needs. So these are the children who are both accessing very high levels of conventional Western medicine as measured in these surveys, and who have a complex set of conditions. So that makes the most sense. This is all statistically significant stuff. So again, among all children in the U.S., it's about 13%, but you can see almost twice that, the prevalence rate for kids who experience chronic conditions. Just another way of looking at it, of those 59 conditions, the more of them you have, the more likely you are to use CAM. So that sort of makes sense too. If you have six or more of those 59 conditions, 26% of those kids. So that's one in four kids in the U.S. with multiple comorbid conditions are using CAM. So this is a large population of children. Another way of looking at it, also probably this makes sense to a lot of you guys, the two highest groups of sort of types of conditions kids have that are accessing CAM at the top there, pain-related conditions and emotional and mental behavior conditions, two things that are not well treated in conventional Western medicine. Therefore, the parents of those children are looking outside conventional Western medicine to access. So again, one in four children who experience either pain or emotional behavior issues are using CAM. So on the left-hand side, that's, again, the 22.5% of kids, almost one in four kids, who have a special health care need compared to, so it's more than double kids who do not have special health care needs. On the right-hand side, this is sort of showing that this is among kids with special needs, these four groups of kids. So among kids who have a special health care need, so of the kids in the 22.5%, the more complex the needs are, the more likely you are too. So the kids who have functional limits, the kids who have some kind of limitation upon their activity, social limitations, educational limitations, those kids are even more, even among the kids who have special needs, are even that much more likely to be using CAM. So again, outside Western conventional medicine. Compared to children, the 12.7%, these are kids who are just using prescription medications and have a special need, so they have asthma, let's say. So kids with asthma are using CAM, but not as much as those who have more complex conditions. Quickly on this one, the second column and the fourth column are the ones I just want to draw your attention to. This is, they assess 37 CAM modalities, like I said before, practices, services, and stuff. 22.1% of kids who have a special health care need are using at least three forms of CAM. So they're, let's say they're doing yoga, meditation, and acupuncture. And that's statistically significant from those who are not reporting any chronic conditions. So the more complex your conditions are, the more you are to be using not just one form of alternative medicine, but multiple forms of alternative medicine. Next steps, I have some data, but I didn't bring it with me. It was sort of what I said earlier. There's some preliminary evidence out in the field with very small studies, you know, people who are doing, you know, clinic-based studies or small N studies that show that kids, the more complex the conditions are, the more likely they're to use CAM, but that it's not alternative, and it's not as opposed to using Western medicine as well. So that actually what's happening is these things are going in parallel, that the more complex your conditions are, you're accessing a lot of Western medicine and a lot of CAM medicine. So, and we have started looking at that data, and we do believe that's true. And we are also going to begin exploring costs related to treating complex conditions and how that relates to CAM usage. So just to wrap up again, I mean, depending how you define CAM, it's anywhere from 13% of the U.S. population to 41% if you want to throw in multivitamins. CAM use is absolutely, in a linear fashion, higher among those with multiple chronic and complex conditions. Yes, demographically, it's higher among those who are white, more educated, and higher income, but that doesn't tell the whole story because that doesn't explain, you know, the 1 in 4 kids with complex conditions who are using CAM too. So that's it. Thanks. And